This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. In the last 5 years, a growing number of Wisconsin businesses have taken steps to become more environmentally friendly. Next week, the Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council will host a conference in Onalaska for organizations to learn more about the challenges and benefits of sustainability in business. Joining us today are Dr. Maggie McDermott, Associate Professor of Marketing at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, Jennifer Schlosser, Creative Director at Empire Screen in Onalaska, and Tom Eggert, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council in Madison. WPR's John Davis asked Tom Eggert to talk about the work of the Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council.
The Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council was created back in 2008 out of a project that some students that I had working with me did. I also teach at the University of Wisconsin in Madison and teach classes in that area of business and sustainability. And in 2008, I had four students that took on the task of bringing businesses together to talk with each other about what they were doing in the sustainability area. We had 225 businesses that came together. And at that event, I put out the invitation that I would be willing to convene this group again if there was business interest and guidance. And I had 12 businesses that stepped forward that ultimately became a board of directors. And out of that grew the Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council. And each December since 2008, we do an annual conference that invites businesses from the state to come together and talk about what they're doing in the sustainability space.
And I understand that interest in sustainability in the business sector in Wisconsin has grown quite a bit in recent years.
It does. It continues to grow for, I think, really good reasons. Sustainability is really about being more efficient at its heart. And, you know, whether we're talking about efficiency in energy use, efficiency in material use, or efficiency in people use, in human resources, businesses stand to gain.
Jennifer Schlosser, you're here representing Empire Screen. Could you talk a little bit about what Empire Screen does, a little bit of the history of the company and what it does?
Sure. Empire is going to be hosting this year's Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council Conference, so I'm excited to share our story with you today. Empire is located in Onalaska, and we've been there since 1960. Our primary focus is screen printing. We also do digital printing, flexographic printing, and doming applications. Our journey, you know, it's been one of self-reliance over the years. The owner has always tried to make improvements to the process and people. So some of the recent developments there have been kind of coming from the early developments of the company. With screen printing, the industry standard is using solvent inks, and over the last 15 years, 16 years, we've changed that and used UV inks. And in the most recent years, we've changed that to use LED technology to actually cure that ink. And so that's kind of where our story begins as far as the sustainability comes from.
Let me maybe just add the reason that we had approached Empire for hosting this year's conference was because of a number of awards that they've won over the last year. They're really national leaders in pushing technology and in the development of technology in the screen printing industry. And we're really fortunate to have them in Wisconsin. And we wanted to highlight some of the work that they're doing by having them host the conference.
What have these changes meant for Empire Screen?
We're progressing, so it seems pretty rapid in the recent years. What it does is, in 2008, kind of after the crash, we had to develop ways to improve our production process. The way we were going, we probably weren't going to be in business if we kept going down the path that we were going. And so we really had to look at becoming lean, and we started researching lean manufacturing and cellular manufacturing. How can we produce our product in flow? And a large part of our production process is has heat to it. And so we have to have a waiting period between certain steps in the production line. So our goal was to try to eliminate that heat. And in doing so, our owner kind of came across an article about LED technology, and that just kind of started the whole thing, you know. It was like, well, how can we make this work for screen printing? And so we worked with our ink companies to develop a process that we could cure our ink using LED. And what it does is it doesn't produce heat. And so our whole process of becoming lean and trying to minimize as much waste as possible was to develop it from raw material to finished goods, and LED technology allows us to do that. So we can get that product to our customer much faster.
So is it a trend in the industry itself to go toward this, or was it more of Empire taking a look at its own business plan and saying, we need to make these changes?
It was more of our own business plan. We're the first ones in the country to develop the technology. We worked with our ink supplier and Fosion Technology, who is a light source for us. And we had to develop inks that would cure and adhere to the substrate that we were printing on. So it was a 3 to 4 year beta testing of developing that process over the years. And we announced this technology in 2011. So, and since then, we've been trying to kind of drive that and develop it.
Who are your customers exactly?
We have several customers, some within the area. Quick Trip, we've done printing for Quick Trip. Alliance Laundry, who's out of Ripon, Wisconsin. Cybex, out of Owatonna.
Is it something customers were asking for or demanding, or is it a matter of, because you put these steps in place, you're able to stay competitive?
A little bit of both. I mean, the customers kind of drive turnaround time. If our process wasn't capable of meeting that demand, we had to change how we were producing our product in order to meet that demand. So a lot of it comes from the customer focus. But again, it wasn't that they introduced us to LED technology. It was something that we stumbled upon over an article and developed it internally.
Dr. McDermott, I wanted to bring you in. Yeah, if I could. You've been at UW La Crosse for...
This is my 8th year here at UW La Crosse.
Okay. And I know La Crosse has started a special minor for sustainable business, students with an interest in that, correct? Could you talk a little bit about the background of that in the history?
The minor in sustainable business is an effort that started, oh gosh, I want to say about 7-8 years ago, maybe even before my arrival here at the UWL campus. And there was a group of interested folks who recognized the need for students that had training in the traditional business disciplines, but also had a background in sustainability. We went through a number of years of planning that involved Tom. I think that's how I first met Tom, along with the folks from Gunderson and other folks that were involved in sustainability in higher education. And we developed a minor in sustainable business. Students need to be admitted to the College of Business. And so what that means is that all of the students in our program have a major in either accounting, economics, finance, information systems, management, or marketing. And then they add on a minor looking at how sustainability impacts business in an interdisciplinary way. We are one of the few programs in the country at the undergraduate level that has that intersection of business and sustainability. There are graduate programs like the one Tom teaches in. There are programs like we have on this campus specific to science and environmental studies, but not too many. I haven't looked it up most recently, but I believe we were one of 7 undergraduate programs when we launched this or last looked at it.
Well, what need was seen out in the working world that it needed to be incorporated at the higher education level?
So many of the things, piggybacking off of what the others have said, we saw a need, or we heard of a need from business and industry for this intersection and knowledge of sustainability, but within a business context. And there isn't a ton of training. People are drawn into this and drawn into their path and journey of sustainability, as we've seen with Empire, in many different ways. It could start from a process improvement standpoint, or it could start from that they believe there's a target market out there that is interested and willing to vote with their dollars, and then they need to be able to sell and tell the sustainability story. So it was really a combination of a need of employers recognizing that this intersection of business and sustainability was important, and interest from within the college and the university and the region for students to have some formalized approach and way to get education and training on this topic.
I kind of want to step back a little, and this is a question for all three of you, but I'll start with Tom. I'm wondering if you could, in your own words, define what sustainability means for a business.
Sure. So sustainability is, from a business perspective, incorporating what they call a triple bottom line focus. So we all understand that business needs to be focused on their bottom line, their, you know, profitability. But what a triple bottom line adds in is a focus on their environmental impact and also on their social impact. And so businesses are starting to look more broadly at their responsibilities to the community, their responsibilities to their customers, and even more broadly, their responsibilities towards society.
No, I really think it's interesting, kind of tying back to the previous comments, in that I think businesses are recognizing that you can do good and do better at the same time, and do so in a way that generates cost savings and profit at the same time. So while in the past, I think folks viewed the business environment as more of a cutthroat competitive sort of situation, I think sustainability is a topic that brings us together and allows us to share, much like we'll do at the conference, best practices on how we can all improve for each other. So it's sustainable in terms of the triple bottom line, what Tom's referring to, but it's also sustainable in terms of developing a competitive advantage and being in business. And so you hear the Empire story of them saying, you know, if they didn't do something different from a process standpoint, they were faced in a situation where, using the word sustainable differently, it wasn't sustainable. And so in their process of becoming more sustainable from a triple bottom line standpoint, they found profitability. And so I think it's a different and unique collaborative movement today that allows folks to really do better and do better, which is a win-win.
You know, from a company standpoint, I think the sustainability part that we've kind of are driving towards now was something definitely from an improvement standpoint. Definitely looking at, you know, the employees that work there and, you know, their livelihoods if the job wasn't there, you know, from a sustainability that we have to, you know, keep our business going, you know, for not just us, but the people that work around us and our customers. But we have to look at, you know, being socially responsible to our community and in the environment where we work. And I think it just all kind of stems from each other and ripples outside of that. So if we're all kind of going in that same direction, we can all see that there can be major improvements from an environmental standpoint.
Jennifer, do you think that had Empire Screen not needed a way to do better with the bottom line, that you would have kept doing things the way you had for 50 plus years? Well, maybe that conversation has never come up. But.
Well, I think to some degree it has. But yeah, I mean, I think after the 2007, 2008, where the economy crashed, there's a lot of businesses, screen printing businesses, that went under. And so we did have to approach it in a this is reality. You have to make changes to the way we produce our product. Our time to deliver that product had to be improved. Our response to that had to change. And so in looking at that, we really empowered our people to kind of get together and make improvements to that and work together. At that time, it was more about lean and reducing the amount of waste that to produce the job. The LED came in from, like I said, an article, and it just happened to fit within that model, that of reducing lean and making that improvement much better than what we, I think, initially thought of.
How many people work at Empire Screen?
We currently employ 265 full-time people and about another 20 part-time.
And has the workforce been fairly stable?
Yeah, it's been about...
Especially since the sustainability efforts went in place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've pretty much maintained about 260 to 300 employees over the course of the last probably 10 years.
Has Empire made other sustainability changes to its business model apart from the ink process?
Yes, we've developed a green team in 2012, which I oversee that team. We set up recycling programs. Our major thing is the LED technology, but we also want to focus on employee engagement and awareness. So without their involvement in helping to improve, we need to build that. So a lot of our sustainability comes in the form of how we market it, how we build awareness and get them involved in making improvements to that. So it's our big one would be the LED, but yes, recycling and other things that we do there.
What about interaction with other businesses, maybe suppliers?
Mm-hmm.
Do you demand sustainability standards from them as well?
Currently, we do not necessarily ask that question, but we're going to be in the coming year. I think we've been surveying and at least having that as part of the conversation, you know, so that we know where the needs of our suppliers. But Empire also joined a program called Empower. It's out of La Crosse last year. They had their pilot program, which came from Sustain Day and out of Madison. And so from a community focus, we've been learning and developing through other community members and businesses within this in La Crosse area.
Tom, a similar question to you. I know we're gaining on the number of businesses in Wisconsin that are making sustainability a key part of their business. Is there a ripple effect to that? Are they making demands of other businesses?
Yeah, they are. One of the things that the council does is they run a program called the Green Masters Program, and it's a points-based assessment and recognition program for businesses in the state. We've had now companies approach us and set up tailored Green Masters programs that they then are administering to their supply chain. They're not making supply chain decisions yet, but they're in the same, I think, phase that Jennifer is in gathering the information and seeing what's happening in the supply chain so that they can then start making some prioritization decisions or, you know, figuring out how they're going to account for sustainability metrics.
I know the state of Wisconsin has something called the Green Tier Program.
Correct.
How is the Green Masters different from the Green Tier Program?
So Green Tier is run by the Department of Natural Resources, and it's an environmental performance program. So it's really just focused on environmental performance. Green Masters is focused on sustainability. So it brings in that social element. We talked about the triple bottom line before, where you have community relations, employee engagement, all of those sort of social, softer kinds of things that businesses are now very actively engaged in. And encourages businesses and, in fact, rewards businesses for being active in these areas.
Does sustainability make good business sense in Wisconsin?
I'll answer from a general sense, but I think it's Jennifer that really can talk about it from a very real sense. What we hear is that, yes, there's a very strong case for acting in a sustainable way for businesses from all different sectors. We mentioned earlier just the efficiency improvements, being better and producing less waste, whether, you know, that waste is energy or anything else. But there's also the satisfying customer demand element of it. We have more and more customers that are approaching businesses and asking what they're doing to be sustainable. So they have to have a story that they can tell those customers that is credible. In addition to customers, we also have employees. You know, the new generation, the millennials that are entering the workforce, when they're surveyed and they're asked, what they're looking for in their first job or their second job. They're looking for a business that is making a difference in the world. And then they want to play a role in making that difference. And so businesses have to be able to talk about the difference that they're making, the role that they're playing. Then you also have risk reduction motivators or drivers, and also investors are now factoring sustainability aspects into investing decisions. So there's a very strong case, business case, for sustainability. We're not asking businesses to, you know, be good to the world for altruistic or moral reasons. It's nice that there are businesses like that, and you have one of the best examples in the state there in La Crosse in Gunderson Health. But there's a very strong business case, and that applies to businesses, whether they're printers or manufacturers or service providers.
So, Jennifer, obviously the answer for Empire Screen is yes, it does make business sense. But could you expand on that a little?
Yeah, I agree. I think that we have to change our mindset to not only look at the bottom line of being profitable, but how are we translating that into process improvements, and that we're taking that investment and actually building that into our employees and our process. And I think that has to be part of our model. And, you know, health and safety goes along with that. And, you know, to not include the environment is kind of, you know, it doesn't make sense. So all of that together, I think, really makes sense, and that companies really need to look at the whole picture of the triple bottom line and make business decisions that make sense for their companies to do so.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Davis. Today we're talking about regional and statewide businesses who are focused on sustainability in advance of a statewide conference being held in Onalaska next week. Our guests include Tom Eggert from the Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council in Madison, Jennifer Schlosser from Empire Screen in Onalaska, and Dr. Maggie McDermott from UW-La Crosse. Maggie, the students who are receiving this minor, what types of careers are they getting involved in after school?
Great question. We're still answering that question. It's a relatively new program. And some of our students really desire to go to work for some of the companies that are in the Green Masters program or that will be featured at the conference. And they know they want to go to work for, say, an Empire Screen printing company who has embarked on a sustainability journey, and they want to apply their knowledge and skills in that sort of an organization. Others see the challenge or find the example, say, since Tom mentioned Gunderson, might go to work in an industry that maybe isn't known for or isn't particularly tied to sustainability, but they want to bring their knowledge to either help continue on that journey. And then others want to go to work in industries that don't have the best reputation for being the most sustainable. And so we really find students are, both in terms of their interest and their placements, really kind of running the gamut on what types of organizations they're getting into and how they're able to apply their knowledge and skills. And we've just started tracking some of our placements. And generally speaking, most of the students are going to work for companies that are either embarking on the journey or are having discussions around the journey, and that they find that the students with this background could perhaps help advance their discussions.
So there is an interest in businesses in hiring people with that background.
We found that to be true thus far. Our program, we have about 60 students in the minor thus far, and so it's a small but growing program, and we continue to work on finding opportunities for students to have applied projects that get them exposed to different types of companies in the areas of people, profit, and planet, and so that they have exposure to talk about in their interview process and exposure to bring to the different organizations that they may be considering joining upon graduation.
Because there's this minor in sustainable business, is that a philosophy that kind of runs through all the business courses at UW-La Crosse?
I think think on a certain level, yes, there's several different models of how folks approach sustainability within higher education. And, you know, one of the models is that you wouldn't have anything separate, that it just is sort of a standard part of all courses. I think some courses may by default sort of lend themselves that way, but that hasn't traditionally been the business focus. So for example, not unique to UWL, but I think you could look at finance curriculum across the country and find a lot of profit-oriented, not a lot of triple bottom line talk going on. I think in engaging in conversations across the different departments and the development of the minor and some professional development opportunities that we've had, I think by having conversations related to social responsibility helps heighten the awareness, and so that at least in the different classes, language is getting used like the triple bottom line. One of the college learning outcomes is centered around social responsibility. It's not specific to sustainability, but a broader umbrella. And we work really hard to make sure that in the core business classes, in the management, marketing, the core finance classes, that social responsibility is finding its way into our curriculum and into our classrooms and hopefully into our students' heads. So we have a bit of that, but aside from that, the more in-depth approach is to have these specific programs or classes. And so we're hoping that even students that don't have the minor still have some exposure and can go out and use that to help advance the organizations they join.
Maggie McDermott, Associate Professor of Marketing at UWL, is here with us today to talk about how Wisconsin businesses are working to become more environmentally friendly. She's joined by Jennifer Schlosser, Creative Director at Empire Screen and On Alaska, and Tom Eggert, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on sustainability efforts by regional businesses. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find a link to more information about the Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council's conference. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about regional businesses who are leading the way on reducing carbon emissions and adapting other sustainability measures. Next week, the Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council is hosting their annual conference in Onalaska for organizations to learn from experts and each other on how to become more eco-friendly. Joining us to talk about sustainability in business are Dr. Maggie McDermott, Associate Professor of Marketing at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, Jennifer Schlosser, Creative Director at Empire Screen in Onalaska, and Tom Eggert, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council in Madison. WPR's John Davis asked Tom Eggert if a sustainability plan is something that's feasible for small businesses.
It is. We look at the Green Masters program, and we've had about 300 companies from across the state participate in that, in the program over the 6 or 7 years that it's been in existence. And about half of those participants are small businesses, businesses with 50 or fewer employees. So even for small businesses, it helps them do the thought process about what could we be doing? Where should we be putting our efforts? How do we engage in these kinds of opportunities? And I think it's a very rich area. Small businesses struggle to stay in business just as medium and large-sized businesses do. And if there truly is a business case for sustainability, it applies equally to small business as it does to bigger businesses.
What does that process, Tom, of creating a more sustainable business look like?
Yeah, most businesses start with the energy area because they pay those energy bills every month, and they always strike them as being bigger than they should be. And so what can they do to lower those energy bills? And you know, there are such easy things that businesses have done and are doing, starting with switching out light bulbs. Changing single-speed drives to variable-speed drives, which means on your heater, Instead of it being either totally on or totally off, which is the way it works in many businesses, you know, it's variable. You can only turn on as much heat as you need, as opposed to, you know, sort of having to open the windows when it's running. And then, you know, that's the launching point. That's the jumping off point for businesses. They've got some savings. They can go to senior management and say, see, it's working. This actually does make sense for us. And then, you know, starting to tell that story, and then customers start asking about it, and it just builds. I think Jen was talking about one of the things that, Empire Screen has done is set up a green team. Setting up a green team is really, it's a very common strategy among many businesses, because you have a whole room full of people from very different parts of the business, all with ideas on how to make the business better. In many cases, how to make the business better also equates to how do we make the business more sustainable.
I know a lot of people think that improved sustainability in this country is kind of being led from the ground up from not only consumers and the everyday person, but the business community. Do you both think government is failing in this area? How could it do a better job leading on this issue that would help business?
There's a loaded question, right?
You go, Tom.
Well, so I have argued in the classes that I teach for the last 20 years that business is in a leadership role on sustainability. And when we look to the federal government for examples of leadership in that sustainability space, it's really hard to find them. Nonetheless, we have, you know, 300 businesses that have participated in Green Masters, and businesses that write sustainability reports. 75% of the Fortune 500 publish a report that is not required for them to do, but they do it because people are asking them about it. And so we have businesses sort of out front. You know, I guess we could speculate on the outcome of the most recent elections, and I think we wouldn't be stepping out too far to say leadership from the federal government under the Trump administration is probably not going to be likely. Yet I would say business is going to continue to make progress and continue to do the things that they're doing. I mean, whether or not the Trump administration agrees that climate change is an issue that they should be tackling, we have businesses that are out there minimizing their carbon footprint or minimizing their carbon emissions. We have 365 businesses that together sent a letter to incoming President Trump saying that we can't back out of the Paris Accords. Why not? Well, because many of these are multinational businesses. We have 193 companies that signed the Paris Accord, and they're doing business in all of them. And many of those countries, they have manufacturing facilities or other facilities in. And so the benefit of having sort of a common framework that they can operate in is tremendous for them. And if the U.S. decides to step out, it creates a challenge. It creates a difficulty for them. And whether or not this administration or this incoming administration wants to admit that global warming is in fact real, businesses know that it's real from what they're seeing. When there are more billion-dollar storm events than there have ever been in the past, or when supply chains in other parts of the world get disrupted tremendously, and that impacts their ability to sell their product, they know that there are things going on. Businesses want to minimize risk. They want to maximize profitability. So there's a lot of interest in sustainability, regardless of what role the federal government plays.
State government at times has played a role in sustainability in Wisconsin, and it's been going backwards from where it was, say, 10 years ago in the state, is it not?
Well, I think there's been a different emphasis within the current administration, within the Walker administration, on business profitability. Unfortunately, I think some of the focus that previous administrations had on how do we help support our businesses, how do we grow our manufacturing capacity, was lost. What are we manufacturing a lot of right now? Well, all of those alternative energy things, whether those are wind turbines or solar panels or alternative transportation things. We had attracted a train company from Spain and agreed to that we were going to buy train cars, and they set up Milwaukee as their North American headquarters because public transport or public transit was going to be more important as we look at the future. And none of that stuff has really played out in Wisconsin. We see growth in all of those areas in Iowa, in Minnesota, in Illinois, even in Michigan. But we aren't seeing the same sort of manufacturing diversification and growth in Wisconsin.
So does the private sector need help from state and federal government, or is it doing a fine job on its own?
Well, if we look at solar, solar is now grid competitive without subsidies. So the argument would be, well, if it's already competitive, then we don't need to continue to subsidize the production of solar panels or solar infrastructure. Well, that would be good. I mean, I think as taxpayers, we all would like less of our tax dollars going to subsidies to various manufacturers, but we sure as heck are still subsidizing the petroleum industry, the coal industry, the natural gas industry. So maybe we should pull subsidies from all energy and see where it comes out.
Maggie, did you say both?
I do think there's some truth in both. I think, as Tom mentioned, we're seeing a rising interest from business for all the reasons that we've talked about, is that you can potentially be more profitable, be good stewards, have a healthier work environment, attract employees, retain employees by being more sustainable. And I think any business owners and any folks that are in the business world are interested in anything they can do to make that happen. At the same time, it oftentimes takes some incentives and some policy behind that to get folks to look in that direction. I think we're increasingly seeing, and as the conference will do, it will highlight all kinds of businesses who may or may not have benefited from federal or state legislative or policies that got them where they're at today. At the same time, there's a whole lot of others that, you know, need to be made aware of these opportunities, and potentially, you know, you can have a carrot or a stick, I guess, however you want to look at it. But, you know, maybe a little of both might be helpful.
Jennifer, I don't know if you've had this discussion internally at Empire Screen or if you can share it, but would you like to see more leadership from the government to help private sector businesses create more sustainability within their business plans?
I think that it wouldn't hurt to some degree. I know that in some cases, it's a hard question because companies don't necessarily want to be fully regulated by government. But yet, I think building awareness needs to come from both areas. Tom talks about putting money into, coal and oil. And is that sustainable in the long run? And putting that same emphasis on wind, it might be beneficial too. You know, so from a standpoint of whether or not government has full control over that, I don't think that's necessarily possible, but or should it be? But I think there has to be definitely awareness that brings both sides together so that there's a conversation about it to improve it.
One of the most interesting things that we've been a part of, or that I've been able to be a part of, is taking students abroad and having students view sustainability, you know, from a different lens. And there are, you know, hundreds of different models in other countries where the government may play more or less of a role in sustainability and sustainable initiatives and sustainable efforts. And it's interesting to look at. I was part of a team and took a group of students to Slovakia this past summer. And one of the client projects we had was for the U.S. Embassy. The U.S. Embassy was looking at how do they encourage innovation in the green sector, how they encourage startups, those sorts of things. And so, you know, you look at a model like that and you see us asking that question of how do we increase, direct foreign investment and how do we increase, economic development in Slovakia, they're very heavy into the automotive industry and looking at how that innovation might play in, it leaves, I think, some encouragement to the students of another perspective that there's not one way to solve the sustainability issues and problems that and opportunities that are presented to us, but that perhaps a blend of private partnerships can exist and are out there.
And how do sustainable efforts in other countries compare to the United States in your experience? I mean,
that's a tough one. I have not traveled perhaps as much as some of these other folks have, but in taking students, particularly in Europe, they certainly have a different what appears to be a different infrastructure, right, than students that maybe have not traveled much outside of the Midwest have encountered. So
right.
It was most telling. I took my 7-year-old son last year to Slovakia with me, and while I was wildly excited for him to see the castles and all kinds of what I perceived to be really old things that would be cool to him, the coolest thing to him was the infrastructure that he could get on a bus or a tram and get anywhere he wanted to go in the city without having a car, being able to drive. And so I think there's something about taking students at least here at UWL. So while we have a wonderful international student population, so many of our students have maybe not traveled outside of the Midwest. And so getting them exposure to different places and spaces, I think, creates awareness that, sure, there's things you'll see wind energy all over Slovakia, for instance, and we'll see it here occasionally. But at the same time, there's also a different cultural, you know, norms around consumption and space and those sorts of things that maybe aren't regulated by anybody but are just different. And so from a marketing standpoint, I always have my marketing lens on, but from a consumer standpoint, you know, the idea that your apartment would be really, really small and you wouldn't have tons and tons of clothes that you would just get rid of at the end of the season because they weren't in style anymore, you know, that's a really interesting learning experience that maybe isn't directly linked to sustainability at that moment, but it's just a different culture and a different emphasis placed on consumerism or the idea of disposing of things. And so that's it's always interesting for students to see that and to see their reaction to it.
Tom, do you have any thoughts on that? And I'm wondering, is it beneficial for a Wisconsin company that has a sustainable model to do business with companies around the world that might also have that sustainable model as part of their business plan?
So I agree with Maggie. When you look at Europe, especially Northern Europe, they are actually, you know, a step or two ahead of us, even sort of the more progressive parts of the country. And they've come to grips with minimizing carbon, minimizing energy, you know, wastage, you know, just being efficient and getting customers to ask or demand for more sustainable solutions. One of the things that I try and emphasize with my students is that every time you go into a store and you spend a dollar on whatever you're spending that dollar on, that's a signal to the manufacturer of what you just bought that you like that and you want them to do more of that. So don't tell me that, oh, you know, we don't want some of this really cheap, crummy stuff that is sold at Walmart, and then go in and buy it. I mean, if you believe that that's not what we should be creating, you shouldn't be purchasing it. And, you know, as we look around the world, 193 countries, as I said before, signed on to the Paris Accord. 193 countries are concerned about what's going on and becoming more sustainable. So though Northern Europe may be leading the way and the U.S. is a step or two behind, you know, there's an overall momentum. So as it applies to supply chain, as it applies to partnerships that go between countries and the business that's done, sustainability is very much a part of all of those discussions.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm John Davis, and we're talking today about state and regional businesses who focus on sustainability. There's a statewide conference being held next week in Alaska Our guests include Dr. Maggie McDermott from UW-La Crosse, Jennifer Schlosser from Empire Screener in Alaska, and Tom Eggert from the Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council based in Madison. I want to touch on the conference next week, if I could. What can businesses who attend expect to learn next week, Tom?
Again, we chose Empire Screen as our host this year because of the really great things that they've been doing. And they've got a role that they're playing in providing tours, and their president is going to be talking. But the purpose of the conference is to bring business people together with business people and have them share stories. Those stories may be success stories. Those stories may be, you know, we tried this, we really tried to make it work, and it just didn't work. Do you have some suggestions, or what else could we try? It could be ideas. It could be ways to work with their chief financial officer to get some of these projects funded. Let me just maybe run through some of the breakout sessions that we have. We'll have one on engaging employees. It becomes very important for businesses these days to capture the hearts, not just the hands of their employees. And so what are the leading businesses doing as far as building an employee engagement program? We'll have a session on public-private partnerships. Maggie was talking before about building those kinds of partnerships, and that might be one of the futures of sustainability. As the federal government steps back from playing a role, perhaps local governments or county governments step forward and form partnerships with businesses to get goals accomplished that previously businesses weren't really involved in accomplishing. We'll have a session on tools that are available. What kinds of tools are companies using to assess progress, to measure progress? We'll have a session on sharing your sustainability story. How are people communicating what they're doing, and what's the appropriate language? There's a lot of concern, and Maggie, I'm sure, can talk about this, about what they call greenwashing. Companies that sort of talk a good game but really have nothing behind it. And so how do you avoid those kinds of things? And then we have keynotes by really some of the more, I think, progressive and more visible businesses in the western part of the state. Barbara Nick, who's the president of Dairyland Power Cooperative, will be delivering the keynote on some of the really innovative stuff that they've been involved with doing with community solar and other alternative energy kinds of approaches. And then we'll have somebody from Gunderson Health, and we've talked about them a number of times over the hour, because they've been doing such great things, talk about sort of how they were able to accomplish what they were able to accomplish, given that they're a health system. They're not an energy utility. A broad spectrum of sessions and information with lots of time for people to interact with each other and learn from each other.
Jennifer, do you have any thoughts on the conference? Obviously, you're hosting it.
Yeah, like I said earlier, we're super excited to have, many of the businesses within Wisconsin to come to this side of the state. I think it's the first time it's going to be over on the West Coast, I guess. So that in itself is going to be exciting. We want to showcase what we've been doing and have that visual sense. We're going to have tours of our production and manufacturing and really showcase that manufacturing can be done in a responsible manner, in an environmentally safe manner. We're green tier. I didn't mention that earlier, and we're also part of the Green Masters program, and we've been able to do this in, relatively a short period of time. In the last 4 years, we've been really making strides in that direction. John Freismuth is going to be one of the keynote speakers. He's our president. He can tell his story and the journey that as a company, he's been there for many years. He's going to tell the story of how the company has grown and how, it wasn't always, sustainability wasn't necessarily on the conversation. It was about, reducing that waste, minimizing conveyance and improving that process. So from a manufacturing standpoint, we can do all that stuff and still not cause harm to the environment. And I think we probably, from an emission standpoint, I don't think we've had to report to the DNR from an energy standpoint because of the changes that we've made. So there's and it's been a huge energy savings for us for instance, one of our presses, the same runtime will cost us about $36,000, and our LED presses will cost us about $658 a year to run. So a huge, huge savings because of the energy savings that go into running that. So our conference will highlight that and actually show people our manufacturing and how we've been able to do it at our company.
Have you had a lot of inquiries from other regional businesses who want to learn from you?
Yeah, I mean, being part of the Empower program, there's six other cohorts there, and so we're kind of learning from each other and learning how they're, you know, whether it's water, you know, their exterior, you know, how are they doing their landscape so they can capture that water runoff. And we're learning really from a lot of the other local businesses here that we could maybe apply those to our own and likewise for them as well.
We've been talking with Jennifer Schlosser from Empire Screen in Onalaska, Maggie McDermott from UWL, and Tom Eggert from the Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council in Madison about regional businesses that are working to become more environmentally friendly in advance of a statewide conference coming to the La Crosse area next week. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.